picture Greece in 2010, a nation implementing an extraordinary fiscal adjustment equivalent to eliminating one-fifth of all government activity. Streets filled with protesters while economists worldwide debated, was this necessary medicine or economic suicide? This dramatic case represents just one example of the austerity measures that have reshaped modern economies from Canada to Japan. What if everything we thought we knew about austerity was wrong? What if the type of austerity matters more than austerity itself? Austerity becomes inevitable when governments fail to maintain fiscal discipline during good times. Ideally, countries would run deficits during recessions and surpluses during booms. Reality tells a different story. Political pressures encourage insufficient taxation or excessive spending regardless of economic conditions. Italy, Belgium, and Ireland accumulated substantial debts during strong growth periods of the 1970s-80s. Greece built enormous debt while experiencing 5% annual growth in the early 2000s. When economic conditions eventually deteriorate, these precarious positions become unsustainable. High debt itself impedes growth through the taxes required for interest payments, creating a negative cycle that eventually erodes investor confidence. The 2010-2014 austerity wave exemplifies this dynamic. Some countries entered the crisis with high debt, Italy, Greece, while others, Spain, Ireland, saw previously manageable debt explode when housing bubbles collapsed. Contrary to conventional wisdom, not all austerity programs harm economic growth. Evidence shows that while tax-based austerity typically triggers deep recessions, spending cut austerity often has minimal output costs, sometimes approaching zero. This difference occurs because credible spending cuts signal long-term reductions in fiscal needs and future taxes. Such signals improve business confidence, reduce crowding out of private investment, and enhance market credibility, while tax increases often fail to address underlying spending problems. Historical examples support this pattern. Austria in the 1980s reduced public sector employment while encouraging private sector growth. Canada cut federal spending by 20% in the 1990s while maintaining growth. Sweden combined significant spending cuts with currency devaluation after its banking crisis, achieving robust recovery. Spending-based austerity succeeds largely because addressing unsustainable debt removes uncertainty about future adjustments, encouraging private investment and consumption. Financial markets often respond with lower borrowing costs that benefit both government and private sectors. The basic Keynesian model predicts tax-based austerity hurts less than spending cuts, a prediction contradicted by real-world evidence. Conventional models fail by ignoring three crucial factors: future expectations, supply-side effects, and price adjustments. Modern macroeconomics recognizes that economic decisions are influenced by expectations about future conditions. Spending cuts signal reduced government fiscal needs and lower future taxes, making consumers feel wealthier. Conversely, tax increases without addressing spending signal more tax hikes ahead. Many government programs grow automatically over time, particularly entitlements in aging societies. Credible reforms to these programs signal reduced long-term fiscal requirements. While consumers who consider lifetime income may adjust immediately to spending cuts, liquidity-constrained consumers living paycheck to paycheck cannot. When a country faces high and growing public debt, investors know stabilization is inevitable. Delaying austerity worsens expectations as debt grows. Implementing austerity signals that drastic future actions won't be needed, boosting confidence. Markets often respond positively to responsible fiscal management, even when it involves short-term pain. History provides compelling experiments in austerity implementation. Austria's 1980-82 fiscal consolidation, primarily through expenditure cuts, 74% of measures, yielded impressive results. After a brief slowdown, the economy accelerated to 3% per capita GDP growth in 1983, outpacing other European countries. Belgium tackled a massive 16.4% deficit in 1981 with an ambitious program, 1982 to 87, totaling over 8% of GDP. Despite this substantial tightening, three-quarters from spending cuts, per capita GDP grew at 1.5% annually throughout. In contrast, Ireland's 1982 to 86 fiscal consolidation shows recessionary austerity. The government introduced measures exceeding 6% of GNP, almost entirely from revenue increases. The results were poor. Ireland grew only 0.7%, while European countries averaged 2%. Similarly, Portugal's 1983 austerity program relied almost entirely on revenue increases, with severe consequences. Output per capita fell sharply as both consumption and investment contracted. These examples demonstrate that spending-based austerity consistently outperforms tax-based approaches across different contexts and political systems, challenging the notion that all fiscal consolidation must hurt growth. The stark contrast between tax-based and spending-based austerity primarily stems from private investment responses. Tax-based adjustments of 1% of GDP reduce GDP by 1-2% within 2 years, worsening to 1.5-2.5% after 4 years, creating persistent economic drags. Conversely, expenditure-based plans cause GDP to fall only 0-0.5% within 2 years before recovering to pre-austerity levels by year three, enabling faster economic adjustment. Private investment behavior explains this difference. During expenditure-based adjustments, private investment rises within 2 years, often 2-3% above baseline. When government demonstrates fiscal discipline through spending restraint, businesses gain confidence that future tax burdens won't increase, spurring investment. Business confidence improves 5-10 percentage points within the first year of expenditure-based plans, particularly in capital-intensive sectors. Consumer confidence shows less divergence, typically varying by only 2-3 percentage points, consistent with smaller differences in consumption versus investment growth. The European debt crisis after 2010 created a natural experiment in austerity. Critics blame it for Europe's prolonged recession, while defenders argue fiscal restraint was necessary for struggling economies to avoid catastrophe. Many European countries entered the 2008 crisis with weak fiscal positions, high debts and deficits, or revenues artificially inflated by housing bubbles. The euro's first decade of low interest rates enabled massive debt accumulation in Europe's periphery. About 3 years after Lehman Brothers' collapse, while the U.S. was recovering, Europe entered a second euro crisis. It began with Greece's chaos and the announcement that private creditors would face losses before European stability mechanism bailouts, triggering market turmoil by eliminating the perception that euro-area debt was risk-free. The UK Conservative government implemented budget cuts of almost 3% of GDP over 5 years, two-thirds expenditure cuts, one-third tax hikes. Despite IMF predictions of recession, the UK maintained respectable growth. Ireland implemented a fiscal correction of 15% of GNP between 2010 to 2014 through government spending cuts, 11%, and tax hikes, 4%. Despite this harsh austerity and banking breakdown, Ireland's growth recovered from -9% in 2009 to 2.5% in 2010, declined briefly before rising to 4.3% in 2013 and reaching 8.9% in 2014. Contrary to conventional wisdom, implementing austerity isn't political suicide. Among the 10 largest fiscal adjustments in OECD countries, 1975-2008, government changes occurred in only 37% of terminations, lower than the 40% average turnover rate during that period. Several governments successfully implemented large expenditure-based austerity plans and won re-election, including Canada's Liberals under Kretschmann, Finland's Social Democrats under Lipponen, and Sweden's Social Democrats under Persson. the political difficulty stems not from voter rejection, but from risk-averse incumbents and interest groups creating a war of attrition by attempting to shift costs onto opponents. When austerity becomes unavoidable, implementation method matters more than timing. Expenditure-based consolidations consistently outperform tax-based approaches. Well-designed spending reforms can achieve fiscal sustainability without severe economic costs, proving fiscal responsibility can be both economically sound and politically viable.